All right, guys, come on back in. Good to see you all here on October 1st. We're definitely into the fall now. Feels like fall out there. We're going to go to the apple orchard this afternoon, so I know it's fall. I'm going to have something good to eat. But it's good to be here this morning. What we're doing here today is we're finishing up a series that we started 3 weeks ago now, and it's called Building a Strong Christian. And again, if you've missed some of them, or if this is your first time here, kind of the thought of this whole thing is we talk a lot about being a Christian, what that is, and a Christian is someone who has accepted Christ and they identify and they belong to Jesus Christ. And what that means is that God created us to have a relationship with him, but then he gave us a choice whether we wanted to have that relationship with him or not. His longing was for us to be with him. His longing, God made us to be with him, to be close and intimate with him. But then he gave us a choice whether we would take that or not, and all of us chose not to, and that's what the Bible calls sin. Sin is not necessarily doing something wrong. At its core, sin is turning our back on God, saying, I don't want you to direct me, I don't want you to lead me, I don't want you to love me, I don't want you to provide for me, I'm going to do all that stuff on my own, or I'm going to get it somewhere else. And that leads to all of these terrible activities and sin, that turning our back on God. When we did that, God said, all right, our relationship is gone because you've asked for it to be done. But then, says God loved us so much, broke his heart that we walked away. And that separation that we caused, God said, I want to fix that. And so the penalty for sin was death. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come and to pay the penalty, my death penalty, your death penalty. It says in Romans that God demonstrates how much he loves us in this, that while we were still sinners, when my back was turned and I was apart from God, Christ came and died for me. And if I accept that payment, if I take that free gift, then it says I come back into a relationship with God and I'm a Christian. I'm identified with Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. But then, once we do that in this world, someday I'm going to go be with God in heaven. But I have some time to live yet here on this earth. And how I live from the time I accept Christ until I leave this earth, that's that time period that we're talking about here right now. How do we live well as a Christian in that time? If I'm a Christian, if I've accepted Christ, how do I live my life here well? How do I become a strong Christian? That's the point of this series. And the main thing that we've been saying is that there are some foundational things. If you're going to build something, you have to have a foundation. If you're going to build something, you have to have a blueprint. And so we've been looking at some foundational things that we need to have in our lives if we're going to become this strong Christian. That's what this series has been about. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first foundational thing, and it's humility. I need to have an attitude of how I see myself before God and before the people around me, and then I need to conduct myself in a certain way. And God says he gives grace to the humble, but he's opposed to the proud. And so being humble is one of those foundational things. Then the next week, which was last week, we looked at love, where God says, you know what? Love is key. Love gives power to everything we do, and love is the hinge on which everything else turns. And if we want to be a strong Christian, we have to have this love. And we talked a lot last week about how if you really want to be a loving person, if you want to love well, first we have to learn to be loved well. Not from each other, but from God. We love because God first loved us. And so that's where we're at here in this series. If you missed any of those, or if you think, wow, I was here and didn't hear any of that, that's fine. Go listen to you can listen to these messages online, and we have them on a Friday night and a Sunday morning, and you get a little different perspective each time. So I'd encourage you to go listen to those. We're going to finish the series today with our last foundational thing that we need to have if we're going to be a strong Christian, and it's perseverance. Today, what we're going to talk about is perseverance. And so as I've been doing this, I just like to lay out kind of why, you know, what is it, or why do we say that perseverance is foundational? And I believe that it is. Perseverance is a foundational thing for us as a Christian. And this is a verse here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. I think about this verse a lot. It says this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I like that. The Bible is filled with all kinds of different things. It's filled with statements of fact. It's filled with stories. It's filled with promises. This is a promise. Some of the promises we see in the Bible are unconditional promises. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. It's an unconditional promise. Regardless of what we do, this is what God's going to do. This is a promise, but it's a conditional promise. In other words, it says, this is what's going to happen if you do this. This is an if-then statement. So, what's the thing that's going to happen? We'll reap a harvest. What's the condition? I don't give up. In other words, something good is going to happen. You know, a harvest is a good thing. This is harvest time. We understand that. And I like to come to church in the summer and the fall because there's usually fun things out there to take. And there's little gourds out there today. And I saw they're disappearing fast. But this is harvest time. And we look forward to harvest because something good is produced. Something good happens at harvest time. And here God is saying, look, in our lives as a Christian, something good can happen. Something is going to be produced in our lives that we're going to like. If we do not give up, if we do not give up, and it's good for us to recognize when God makes a promise, is this a conditional promise or an unconditional promise? In other words, is this a promise that all I have to do is believe it, or is this a promise that I have to believe it and then do something to kind of get in on it? And he does both. This is the second kind. I will, my life will reap a harvest. There's a promise there. Oh my goodness, that's a wonderful promise. God says, my life will be productive as a Christian. That's great. I will reap a harvest. Something good is going to happen in my life as a Christian if I do not give up. See, perseverance is foundational for us being a Christian. He says a very similar thing here in the book of James, chapter 1, again, a very famous verse that I think about a lot. I have verse 4 on the PowerPoint. I'm going to start reading in verse 2. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. There it is. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Wow, isn't that what we're talking about? I want to be a strong Christian. Well, there it is. I'm mature and complete, not lacking anything. Goodness, that's what we're shooting for, right? I've lived my life. I'm living my life as a Christian, and I'm mature as a Christian. I'm complete. I'm not lacking in anything. I am that strong Christian. Well, what's going to get me there? According to this verse, what needs to come before I get to being mature and complete? Perseverance. Perseverance. I don't give up. I don't quit. I'm going to persevere. So I, again and again, this shows up many, many times in the Bible, this whole idea of I'm not going to quit. And I think what these verses and others help us to understand is that I'm going to become something and I'm going to accomplish something as a Christian, but it will depend in part on my perseverance. I want to say that again. I think what these verses and others say is that what I become and what I accomplish as a Christian depends on, among other things, but it depends on my perseverance. Will I persevere? Here it says perseverance finishes its work so that I'm mature and complete. The verse we said before is I will reap a harvest if I do not give up. So perseverance, this idea that I'm going to keep going and I'm not going to stop, is foundational for us being a Christian. We can't do it. We can't get to where we really want to go, or we're going to fall short if we stop short. And that makes sense, right? I mean, when you really think about it, that's not a shocking thing, you know? There's a young gal, many of you know Felicia. She's a gal, a college student that goes to church. She's running the Minneapolis Marathon today. So she's over in the Twin Cities. I think she took off an hour ago, started running. She's got 26, a lot of miles, just too many miles to run. But she's got all of these miles to run. And if she decides, you know, at mile 20, oh, gosh, I think I'm going to stop and get a cup of coffee instead. She's not going to finish, is she? And we understand that. And we go, oh, of course. Well, it's the same way as being a Christian. There's the goal, and if I stop short, I'm not going to get to the goal. Becoming a strong Christian requires you and I to persevere. But the question is, then, or the next question is, that I think it's important to answer, is what is it? What is perseverance? Perseverance is foundational to me being a strong Christian. Well, what is it? Some things in the Bible, much of the Bible, I believe, is not real difficult to understand, and I think this is one of those things. What is perseverance? It's very simple. I won't quit. I won't quit. I really believe that understanding it is no more complicated than that. So much of the Bible is not hard to understand, and I think that this is one of those things. I will reap a harvest if I do not give up. What does that mean? Well, I'll reap a harvest if I don't give up. It's not complicated. Perseverance, what is it? And we talked about this the very first week. I won't quit. I won't quit. That's all that it is. I like, I'm going to play here a quote. This is Winston Churchill, who in his address to the House of Commons, maybe it was all of Parliament, but at the beginning of World War II, when England was kind of the last country standing, much of Europe had been overrun, and England was kind of standing alone, and he gave a speech, very famous speech, and I have a clip of that here. Luke, we got that up. Just to listen to this, the words are on the screen. He has a very strong British accent, which you would expect, but the words are here, and maybe you can hear it.
We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. And if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it were subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of the old.
Simple. I won't quit. We won't quit. We won't stop. That's what he says. We will fight on the beaches. And if they get past the beaches, we'll fight in the fields. And if they throw us off the island, we'll fight. I will not quit. We shall never surrender. And that speech has gone down through the ages as this powerful thing. And it stirred a nation to endure incredible difficulty and incredible hardship, and it was nothing complicated. All he said is, we won't quit. There is no circumstance under which we will surrender. We're not going to stop. That's what perseverance is. I won't quit. And it's no more complicated than that. And it's not... There's nothing magical about it. There's nothing other than I won't quit. Of course, that's easier said than done, isn't it? That's easier said than done. I do lots of weddings, and at the, you know, we do the pre-marriage counseling with the couple, and we always tell them, you know, you got to have this mindset that divorce is not an option. If you want your marriage to go well, you have to just decide right now, divorce is not an option. And you tell that to two 22-year-olds who are in love, and they look at you like you're crazy. Divorce? What are you, nuts? There's no way I'm going to divorce this person. I desperately love them. Well, then you talk to them 25 years later, and they've lived through 25 years, and the difficulty is not understanding that concept. It's, well, now I have to live with you, and there's difficulty. And that idea of not quitting, I won't quit, very, very simple to understand. But like so much of the Bible, understanding it is easy. Accomplishing it, doing it, it's a different thing. And the keeping that promise to yourself that I won't quit, that's the difficult thing. And so I want to spend the rest of our time here talking about that. How is it that we can say, okay, I'm not going to quit, I'm going to persevere, but how does that actually play itself out? And I'm going to ask it in this way: whose job is it? Whose role is it to make sure that I persevere? And I want to read here a few verses in Romans chapter 5. It's four verses here. I'm going to read, or five verses. I'm going to read Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And I have some of it up here. So here I go. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Now, you may want to take that home, go home this afternoon, read that little passage, because I think that there's a lot in there, but in basic terms, it talks about perseverance, right? Hey, I need to have this thing called perseverance. I need to persevere as a Christian. And so there's a role for me, there's a role for you in there, but it's surrounded by all these things that God says he's going to do. God has justified us. God's given us peace, it says here. We've gained access by grace, which is something we can't earn. God just gives us grace and he helps us to stand. All of those things are things that God does. He gives us hope. God has poured out his love into our hearts. He's given us his Holy Spirit. These are all things that God does. And they're all around what we do, which is right in the middle. Well, I'm going to rejoice in my sufferings because these sufferings produce perseverance. Perseverance produces character and character hope. So whose job is it? Well, I think it's a combination. I have a role and God has a role. If I'm going to persevere, if I'm not going to quit as a Christian, if I'm not going to quit, I have a role and God has a role. And it's good for us to recognize who's going to do what so that we can do what we're going to do. And so what's my part? What's my part? What's my role? If I'm going to persevere and not quit as a Christian, what's my role? My part is, and I hope this doesn't seem condescending, but it's just simple. I'm going to hang on. My part is I'm going to hang on. And not quitting oftentimes means that. I'm hanging on. I maybe don't feel like I'm making all kinds of progress, but I'm not letting go. I'm not stopping. It's interesting that in that verse in Romans that we just read and in the verse in James that I just read, it talked about sufferings. It talked about trials. And perseverance is very often, in fact, most of the time, perseverance is coupled with that. I have these sufferings. I have these trials. And it makes sense when you think about it, because perseverance means I'm not going to quit because I'm tempted to quit, because there's some pressure on me to quit. You don't have to persevere in eating wedding cake. Oh, man, this is so good. I just got to persevere and get to that. No, you want to do that. You don't think about perseverance in things like that. You think about perseverance when you're tempted, when there's pressure on you not to finish. And so if I'm going to persevere as a Christian, what that means, Christian, is this, that if I want to be that mature and complete Christian, there are things in the way. There are going to be things that happen to me along my life that try to stop me, that try to make me quit. There are going to be pressures and temptations and influences on my life that are going to make me look at this and say, I don't want to go any farther. I can't go any farther. And so my role so often when we're talking about perseverance is I am going to hang on. I'm going to hang on when I'm being pushed. I'm going to hang on when I feel weight and pressure. I'm going to hang on when I'm not sure what in the world I'm doing, where I'm going. There are so many things that can lean on us and help us to not do it. And there's just many of them, failure and pain. You know, if you want to be a Christian, you're going to fail. You're going to fail sometimes in small ways. Sometimes you're going to fail spectacularly. And there's pain in this life. There's pain to you and there's pain to the people around you. It would be nice if being a Christian in this life was just easy. It's not. It'd be life if it would be nice if we could just do it and do it well all the time. You can't. You're going to fail in this. And failure makes us want to give up. And pain makes us want to give up. You know, persevering requires a long time and we just get weary. I think I struggle with this a lot, just the time and the weariness of life. Life just goes on and it goes on and it goes on and it feels like I'm tired. You know, when you're 20, you don't recognize that so much. When you're 35, 40, you begin to feel it. When you're 50, 60, 70, you understand the weariness of life. And time just keeps going, and it's like, my goodness, will this never end? And it makes us want to quit. Opposition and rejection, not just opposition. You know, there's opposition to you living well as a Christian. Oftentimes there's rejection. The people that you try to love the best, the people that you try to pour yourself out for, not only oppose you, they reject you. And they tell you that they assign evil intentions to you, or they actively fight against you. My goodness, if there's anything that makes you want to quit, it's the people that you try to love well who then oppose you and reject you, and it's going to happen. It happened to every great man and woman that we see in the Bible. Opposition and rejection, not just from the world. You can put up with that. It's from people that you didn't expect it from. There's nothing that will make you want to quit sooner than rejection from people that you didn't expect it from. And that creates confusion and uncertainty. And that makes us want to quit. What is going on here? Why is this happening? I don't know why this is happening. I'm not even sure what to do next. I'm looking around and I want to live my life for God, but I just don't know how. And this confusion and uncertainty can make us want to stop. I can't keep going forward because I don't know where I'm going. And so we can get bogged down. All of these things can lead us to a point where we just want to quit. And I've been in these places as a Christian. And again, you know, this is true of all kinds of things. You know, we have to persevere in all kinds of ways. What we're talking about here in this series is persevering as a Christian. I'm not going to stop following God. I am not going to stop seeking the Lord. I'm going to keep running for God my whole life. And I'm not going to quit that. And so that's the context that we're talking about this in. And I have certainly been in that situation. All of us have. All of us have been in this place where we're tempted to quit for different reasons. And just recently, I've shared this some, and I share it again, not, I don't know, I hope this is helpful to people. I share this story because I want it to be helpful to folks. But for myself, there has been, I'm coming out of a period where I was very, 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 very close, I guess, to quitting, just giving up. I've been a Christian since 1993, so that's a long time. I don't know what that is, 35 years, something like that. Much of that time, early on, God just gripped me in my life, and I just, you know, I was going to be a lawyer, I was going to live in the mountains. I had all these dreams for my life, but I was a junior in college here, and I became a Christian. I recognized that God had a call on my life, and I surrendered to Christ, and I began to run hard for the Lord, and I began to just really want to give my life to Him in so many ways, and I have made so many decisions as a father, as a husband, as a dad, to pour myself into the work that God has asked me to do, and many of us do this, by the way. I'm not trying to set myself apart. It's just that's how I've lived my life, and many of us have done that. And for me, what that looked like, what God was asking me to do, is, you know what, Rob, I want you to throw your life wholeheartedly into this church. And so I've been in this church since the day I got saved. I have poured myself into this church. And I took a job where I had to drive an hour and a half one way for my job because I wanted to live here and be with you guys in this church. And I became a pastor and I worked two jobs for a while because I knew I wanted to pour myself into this church. And I quit my job as a lawyer and I've poured myself into this church because this is what God has asked me to do, and it's been a joy in so many ways. And this is, for me, the thing that God laid out for me, Rob. This is what your life is about. This is how you're going to honor me, Rob. This is how you're going to follow me. This is for you, Rob, what it looks like for you to be that strong Christian. You pour yourself into this church, into these people. And I've done that. Not perfectly, but I've done that for upwards of 30 years now, more than 30 years now. And probably 2 years ago, year and a half, 2 years ago, I was looking at my life and looking forward in my life, and I was ready to quit. I had a way out. I had a path out. And I saw I can go back to the law job. There's a job opening up for me. I can go back to it. I can move back home where I grew up. I can set this aside, and I can pick up those dreams that I gave up years ago to follow the Lord in this church. I can pick them back up. And I can walk away from this. And I wanted to. I just wanted to. I saw the path out, and I wanted to take it. And I'd been to that point once or twice in my life before, but never that strongly, never that powerfully. And it was for a lot of the things that I see here. You know, I felt my own failure in many ways. I recognized my own failures. And my own failures caused pain, not just to me, but to the people around me. And one of the hardest things was watching my wife struggle through things that I felt like I caused that. And I watched my wife hurt. Wake up in the morning and hurt. I thought, what am I doing this for? Why in the world would I bring my wife into this? Sweetie, let's go away. Let's get out of this. We don't have to do this. And that pain and that failure was right in front of me. And I felt it myself, the pain. And I was just tired. Oh, my goodness. I was weary. I felt like I'd been going and going and going. And I don't know if I'm seeing anything, Lord. I don't know if I'm doing any good. Maybe, God, I've just done all you've asked me to do. And it's just time for me to clear this stage and let somebody else come in. So I'm tired. I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know if I can do it for another 20 years. And I'm pretty sure I don't want to do it for another 20 years because I'm tired. And I was feeling opposition and rejection, and some of it was very real. People that I had tried to love well, in basic terms, hated me. Sometimes there was cause to it, sometimes not. But I was hated, and again, that was bouncing off of me and hitting my wife and my kids and the people around me. And I didn't talk about it in here, but I was just sad, and I didn't even recognize it at the time. But so many of the men that I had, as a young man, you look to the future and you think, God, you're asking me to do something great, and this is so amazing, and I'm so excited to do this for you, Lord, and I'm running, and I'm doing it with other men. And men that I had been running with hard were all gone. All of them were, not all of them, many of them were gone. The men that I had run with, the men that I thought, I'm going to grow old with you, they weren't around anymore. Some of them had left angry at me, hating me. Some of them just through circumstances were gone, but I felt very alone. And I felt very, very sad. And I'm not an emotional guy, so I didn't even know it. But I was sad. This is sad. Lord, this life that I'm in right now, it's sad, and I don't want to be sad anymore. I'd rather be something else, but I don't want to be sad. And that caused all kinds of uncertainty. all kinds of confusion. Lord, is this all my fault? Am I just no good at this? Have I been creating all of these circumstances? Is this just something that it all rests with me? And so I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I for so many years I could see clearly what you were asking me to do, and now I feel like, well, I'm not sure. I've gotten to this place and I'm looking around and I don't know quite where I am, and I don't know quite how to get out of here. And that was an unsettling thing for me. And so all of these things just came down, and I was to the point where I was looking around and saying, yes, I've given my life to this church, but I can't do it anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. And I really think, Lord, I'm all done. I really think I'm done. I'm just going to disappear. And that's what I'm going to do. Now, I share that story with you not to make you feel bad for me. I share that story with you because I suspect, I know that all of us are at that point in different ways at different times. For you, it's going to look and feel different. For you, it's going to be different, but we all get to the point. If you want to run with the Lord, if you are a Christian, and if you are growing as a Christian, you will get to the point where you are tempted to quit. There's a movie called Black Hawk Down, and I don't know if you've seen the movie. I really like it. It's a story of an event in Somalia back in the 90s, I think, when our military was in Somalia. They'd gone in. A couple of helicopters had gotten shot down in the city in Mogadishu, and they'd sent a column of troops into the city to rescue these downed helicopters and the people that were on them, and the whole thing was going terribly, and as the column came in, they were under heavy fire and there were roadblocks. They couldn't get there, and they were pinned down. This column was trying to get to these downed helicopters, but the column, all these trucks and these troops that were going in to rescue them got pinned down, and they were just getting shot at, and grenades and snipers and chaos was going on. And And the colonel who was in charge said, well, okay, we got to get out of here. He made a decision. We got to go. And he turned to a soldier and he said, get in that truck and load everybody up and turn around and we're driving to here. And the soldier looked at him with this look of just incredulity on his face and says, but sir, I'm shot. And the colonel said, everybody's shot. Get in the truck. And that is what we're doing, guys. We're all shot. We're all shot. Oh, I'm wounded. Yeah. Yeah, you're wounded. I'm wounded. This life wounds us. I'm afraid. Yeah, so am I. I'm afraid too. I don't know what we're supposed to do. I'm not sure either, but we got to do something. Guys, we're all in this together. We're all shot. And if getting shot makes you stop, you're not going to get to where you want to go. Perseverance is, oh, I'm going to keep going even though I'm shot. And that's what God asks us to do, and that's my part. That's your part. I'm going to hang on. I'm wounded. I'm hurt. I'm scared. I'm afraid. I'm alone. I've failed. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to keep going. That's what perseverance is. And that's my part. And it's not complicated, but it's hard. What's God's part? We said that there are two parts in this. My part is I'm going to hang on. God's part, well, that's everything else. I'm going to hang on, and then God's going to do everything else. I'm going to do what you're asking me to do as well as I can, Lord, and then you have to do everything else. And he does. God gives clarity in the midst of chaos and confusion. And that's something only he can do. And he does it in a way that only he can, and he helps us to see things that we need to see when we can't see them. God gives courage in the midst of fear. See, God gives clarity. This is what I need to do, and then he gives us the courage to try. All right, I got to get in the truck, and I got to drive it. Okay, now I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm afraid. Well, give me the courage to get in there and do it. And then God gives strength. All right, that's what I have to do. He gives me the courage to try, and then he gives me the strength to keep going. And then God finishes the job. He says, you do everything you can, when it's not enough, I'll finish the job for you. And I was telling you about my place of wanting to quit. And all through that time, and that went on, there was about a 10-year process that led me to that point, and many, many things. But particularly at the time when I was really feeling like I'm done, Lord, I'm going to quit, I wasn't distant from God during that time. I look back on it, and I wasn't angry with God. I wasn't running away from God. I was spending all kinds of time talking to God about it and just telling him this stuff. Lord, I just think I'm done. Lord, I don't know if I want to go any farther. God, is it okay with you if I just stop now? Lord, I think I'm not any good at this, and you need to get someone else. Lord, is that what you're telling me? I was talking to him. I wasn't running from God. I wasn't, you know, fighting him. I was sitting, and for all the world, I felt like a little boy sitting on God's lap. And a lot of times, I'd just cry. And other times, I'd yell. And sometimes, I'd just sleep. I just want to sit here. But I was with God. And all through that time, I felt God, when I needed it the most, he'd give me clarity. Rob, you know what? What have I asked you to do, Rob? Well, I'm a shepherd. You've asked me to shepherd this flock. Yeah. And that hasn't changed, Rob. That's still what I want you to do, buddy. Still what I, okay. And when I would feel just afraid to try, he'd say, you know what? It's all right. We've been through this before, Rob, remember? You know, we've been through these times before, and I've always come through, and go ahead, stand up. Go and say that tough thing. Go to that meeting that you think you're going to get. Just try. And he gave me strength to get up and keep going, because right in the midst of it, and then God did amazing things. I would just watch God's hand moving, and he wouldn't make the situation go away, but he would open the door, and I would walk through it, and I would see something happen. And then God finished the job. Here's one of the most amazing things about this whole thing. I felt like for years I was just trying to keep my head above water. As your pastor, as a pastor of this church, I felt like I am absolutely floundering, and all I can do is not quit. That's the best I got. And I was just trying to keep my head above water. All I wanted to do was not drown. I had no time to go out and to talk with anybody. Or I felt like I can't be winning and building for the Lord. All the stuff that God wants to see happen in the church, I can't be working on. I can't do anything, because all I'm trying to do is survive. But God walked me through that, and I felt like in those deepest, darkest times, I felt like I was just weeping on his shoulder, and he was just holding me. And then I can remember a time where, remember when you were a little kid, or you've probably had little kids, where, you know, something happens and they cut themselves, or they get stung by a bee, or they get frightened, and they're just crying uncontrollably, and then they kind of get better, and then they cry uncontrollably again, and they kind of get better. But then there comes a point where there's that big, deep breath. It's like, and that's kind of all better. You remember that as a kid? You remember your kids doing that? I felt spiritually like I just had that big deal. And God said, and it's just like, I can just picture him. You better? Yeah. Okay, let's go. Okay, here we go. And then I came and I looked around, and holy smoke, there are people getting saved. I even know who you are, and you got saved. And these people are growing, and God was doing so many things. I felt like it's been winter and everything's frozen, and now the snow melted. And look at all the stuff that's growing. God finished the job. God was doing things when I was just done. But I didn't quit. And so I walked into the sunlight and saw all the things that God has done. I very much felt like this. Can you put that verse up there, Luke? This is talking about Moses. It says, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Moses had 40 years where he totally failed, absolute failure. Killed a guy, got chased out of town, 40 years doing nothing in a desert, came back. Just everybody rejected him right away. He was struggling with all this stuff. Pharaoh said no. The people hated him. Then, 40 years out in the desert, you know, trying to lead the people, and they're rebelling against him, and things aren't going well, and he gets in trouble with God, and it's just one thing after the next. For 80 years of his life, this is going on, and it says he persevered. He didn't quit. But I love that, because he saw him who is invisible. I didn't quit because I saw him who is invisible. Listen to me very carefully. You can hang on all you want, but God has to do something. You have to do it with the God who is invisible to me, but he is so real. That's God's part. He's not far from you. You just need to cling to him. So I'm going to end with this. What does it mean to persevere? Well, two phrases that I think. I'll keep going until my legs give out, then you carry me. I'm going to keep walking till my legs can't go anymore, and then you carry me. I'll hang on until my hands fail, and then you catch me. I'll hang on to the very end, but then I'm going to let go, and you catch me. That's perseverance. I'm going to give everything I have, and then you're going to make it up, God. You're going to take it and make it more than I could make it on my own. Perseverance, guys. If we do not give up, oh, we walk into the sunshine. That's my hunger for myself and for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, God, that this is an easy thing to understand. You didn't make it complicated. Help us to recognize how simple it is to understand that I just won't quit. And yet, Lord, so hard to do. And you know that. You understand that too. Jesus, when you lived here on earth, you were tempted as we are. You were tempted to give up, I believe. And you persevered. So help us, as your men and women, as your boys and girls, not to give up, Lord. To cling to you, to hang on, to keep going, and then to see you do things that only you can do. To walk into that place where we just see your great strength. Help us to be there, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.